Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked a dear friend of the ministry to be a guest today on the program. He is Pastor Matt First from Mountain View Baptist up in Custer, South Dakota. Pastor Matt, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you, Jerry. Glad to be here.
So happy to have you. Now, we discussed this talking other business last week, but it was such a powerful conversation we had. I just had to have you on to talk about this. The Super Bowl was... Oh, was it a week ago already?
Yeah, about 10 days ago, yeah.
I know that the commercials are big time. They spend a lot of money to buy airtime during the Super Bowl because they're reaching hundreds of millions of Americans. And what better way to advertise your product? And a lot of people just watch for the commercials. They could care less about the game. That draws a lot of extra eyeballs and gray matter into the equation. This year they were $7 million for 30 seconds. That's
right.
That's an exorbitant amount of cash, but to each his own. But there were two commercials that got your attention.
Yeah.
They were the He Gets Us commercials.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me say I did not watch the Super Bowl. But having said that, I found out about these commercials after the fact. And I've seen these He Gets Us commercials before. I was watching college playoffs 6 weeks ago on January 1st. And there was a He Gets Us commercial that popped up. And they were around last year. And every time I just groan and roll my eyes because they're so vague and they're so biblically shallow that I don't understand why someone thinks they're doing any good. I really think, Jerry, that we need to recognize how biblically illiterate we really are. I heard someone say not too long ago that there's only about 9% of the Christians in America that actually read their Bible. And there's only 6% that have a biblical worldview. So before we even talk about the commercials, let me just tell you one example. There was a mega church called Crossroads. I think they're in Cincinnati, Ohio. There are supposedly 40,000 people there. And the pastor and maybe his wife or a female pastor were up on the stage, and they had somebody dressed as a referee. They had the pastor in a jersey, the woman in a jersey. And they decided to do a kickoff to start the church service. The stage was a football field. And guess what they used for the football? They used the Bible. They used the Bible, Jerry. She won the coin toss, and so she kicked the Bible as the opening kickoff of the church service. And as crazy and as insane as that sounds, it really is a picture of what the American churches have done and are doing. They are literally kicking the Bible. The Bible doesn't matter. There are so many versions of the Bible out there now that nobody knows for sure what is the Word of God. So many pastors that have caved to the pressure of the scholars and the marketers that they don't even push a certain Bible standard in their church. They're just happy if people will show up. And so when it comes to being biblically literate, we aren't. Everybody, quote-unquote, knows who Jesus is, but nobody really knows the Word. And Jesus is the Word. The Bible says He is the Word. And so if you don't know the Word because you don't read the Word, and there's only 6% of Americans that are biblically viewing the world biblically and 9% that are reading their Bibles on a daily basis, then how do you really know the real Jesus? And so what's happened is that we have another Jesus coming on the scene. And these He Gets Us ads are part of that.
That's a fact. It is another gospel. It's another Jesus. Well, I'm still in shock that she kicked a Bible to start the service.
Yeah, I just, It's just mind-boggling. And that's just one mega church on Super Bowl Sunday or Super Bowl weekend.
Wow. Just wow. He gets us is so deceiving and not the true Jesus, but it ropes in, you know, it fits perfectly with the liberalization of the church. We have become, as you said, 9% read the Bible. We have become such an apathetic, so-called Christian nation.
Yeah.
Everybody says, I know Jesus. Jesus loves me.
Right. So we have watered down the gospel. We have watered down the word of God. Everybody's got some sort of a view of Jesus in America, but nobody, or I would say 95% of us, don't really know the true Jesus of the Bible. I saw one meme or comic or sarcastic post on social media that showed Jesus in an office with two men in business suits, and he's shaking hands with them, and it says, Jesus agreeing to a $20 million Super Bowl ad about feet. Because that's what the He Gets Us commercials were, washing feet, a bunch of people getting their feet washed. And seriously, I mean, Jesus never told us to go into the world and wash feet. He did tell us to wash one another's feet as disciples. Because how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. It's enough of a task just for a local church to get along with each other. But the idea that we're supposed to go out and do this virtue signaling, which is what it really was, these different paintings that they used for their commercial, they had this background music going, and they had this police officer in a dark alley washing the feet of a black man. And, you know, then they had one where there was a young woman sitting on a bench in front of what looks like a Planned Parenthood or abortion clinic or something, and someone's washing her feet. And that's very emotionally touching or whatnot, but what it really is, Jerry, is something called virtue signaling. And I found some definitions on that. What is virtue signaling? It's the expressing opinions that are designed to align with a certain politically correct or socially acceptable cause. He claims some sort of agreed upon moral high ground with the attending feeling of moral superiority. In other words, good works for a social justice climate. The Church of the Social Gospel is also not immune from virtue signaling in its attempt and its efforts to mimic the world's causes and bring the culture into the church to appear to be more appealing to the lost and please men instead of God. Now, I do think that we are to have compassion on the world, and I do think that we are and could be. There would be a necessity that we wash someone's feet. But what I loved about that comic that I saw earlier last week was, if I'm an unsaved couch potato and I'm sitting there during the Super Bowl and a 30-second ad comes on and shows a bunch of people getting their feet washed, what does that do? How am I impressed with that? Other than warm and fuzzy feelings, think about it. You got $7 million in 30 seconds, and that's what you came up with to tell the message to the world? That's a social gospel. That's not the gospel that's going to save people from hell. And what we're doing, Jerry, the new Jesus that is out there now, and Satan's behind him, the new Jesus is all about making this world a wonderful place from which to die and go to hell.
Amen. You know, in that ad, I'm like you. I rolled my eyes. I didn't pay attention to it. You know, it was just kind of background noise while I was watching the Super Bowl. I'm a football official, and so I'm watching it more as an official than a fan. But when the ad comes on, I just kind of blot it out and let it be background noise. But I have seen clips, and the one where the girl is getting her feet washed outside the abortion clinic, they're painting the people in the background that are pro-life, that want to save these babies, that don't want to murder babies. They're painted as the bad guy.
Right. I've got a friend who stands outside abortion clinics with placards and legally stands on the sidewalk and street preaches and is saying things to ladies as they're going in, but he is not ugly about it. He is not unkind. He and his wife have rescued women from the decision of an abortion right there on the spot. And, but what that ad does is it paints them as the crazy goofy ball people, and they should just be washing their feet and not judging them. And the verse that, that the whole world knows and misquotes out of context all the time is, judge not.
Yes.
That's their favorite verse. But that's not what Jesus meant. He didn't mean to we can never judge. Good grief, you better use judgment. Otherwise, you're going to make a lot of foolish decisions. But don't be a hypocrite. That's what he's saying. Don't judge if you've got a beam in your own eye and a mote in someone else's eye. But that's what it's doing, like you said. It's painting those who are anti-abortion, those who are pro-life, those who are trying to persuade young women from making this horrible decision and are doing so vigilantly but not ugly, it paints them as being the bad guys because they shouldn't judge. They should just wash feet.
Right. Like you said, the message is backed by Satan. And there's, yep, there's no other way around it. And there was another guy on, I went to ChristianPost.com. He made a comment on social media. His name is Samuel Say, S-E-Y. He said, quote, the He Gets Us ads message isn't that you should worship Jesus. Their message is that Jesus worships you.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. And the Bible says that there was a certain sinful woman that felt and understood the forgiveness and the love of God. And what did she do? She began to stand at his feet weeping, and then her tears made his feet wet. And so she started wiping and washing his feet with her hair and her tears. That's the picture of the gospel, is that we are so thankful for Christ that we wash his feet, and we do it out of love for him. And Mary, when she washed Christ's feet, anointed them with precious ointment. That's the picture. So Satan has flipped it around. Someone said, why wasn't the Black Lives Matter guy washing the feet of the officer? Well, that doesn't feed the narrative. That doesn't fit the woke-ism that's out there now.
That's true.
Why wasn't a rescued mother that almost committed abortion, why wasn't she washing the feet of the one that, that persuaded her from going in after standing out on the street corner all day trying to persuade people?
Exactly.
Or the people who preach the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That's what the Bible says. Why didn't they show that? See, these are supposedly Christians who made this commercial. But instead of giving the message that the Bible actually says, we are into woke Christianity. It's the woke church, conscious of certain injustices of society. And liberal churches will use what they consider to be the essential worldview and proceed from that premise, that their priority is to work for worldly justice for oppressed people groups, which includes acceptance of lifestyles. One of the pictures, one of the paintings, was a guy with a backwards collar and a cross necklace, some kind of a priest or something, washing the feet of a homosexual. That's woke Christianity. The acceptance of lifestyles that the Bible calls sinful. But what's interesting is, woke churches rarely ever see the killing of babies through abortion as a social injustice.
That's the thing that gets me, Matt, because Matthew 18 tells us what happens if we harm one of the little ones.
Yeah, so, millstone.
Yeah. How can you call yourself a Christian and not do everything in your power to prevent the murder of these innocent lives? And,
sure.
And I've lamented this fact many times, Matt, that what if one of those who has been murdered had the answer to curing cancer or
sure,
heart disease or lung disease, brain disease? This has been wiped from the face of the planet forever.
Yeah.
And for what? For our own selfish reasons? Because I can't, yeah, come up with a reason to kill a baby other than I don't want this.
Sure. Yeah, we do not have a problem of Christians going around harming people who are committing abortions. yes, there's been some crazies out there once in a while, but that is a very small minority of the average most Christians. They're kind, they're gentle, but they care enough to tell people the truth. But what that does is paint the picture that we're not doing enough and that we should just be washing feet and keeping our mouth shut. That doesn't do anybody any good. Even the person getting their feet washed, all that's going to do is last for a few hours. That's not going to save them from hell. That's not going to solve anything. It's just silliness. And Jesus never washed the Pharisees' feet.
Not once.
Jesus did wash his disciples' feet the night before his crucifixion. Mm-hmm. That includes Peter, who cursed him later on. It includes Judas, who betrayed him. But Jesus did that to show us that we need, as a church, individually, local church assembly, to love one another and to serve one another and to be humble. But Jesus never went out on the street and told his disciples to wash everybody's feet.
No, he did not. You know, this different Jesus. You know, I know what they're doing, Matt, is what they've done with love thy neighbor as thyself.
Right.
You know, they're twisting this scripture
right.
to promote this other gospel that we're
right.
all even in God's eye, and you know, it's okay if
well,
you're homosexual.
In the He Gets Us, if you go into the He Gets Us website and you start reading up on it, it says He Gets Us is an initiative of Come Near Incorporated, a nonprofit organization committed to sharing the life and love of Jesus that believes Jesus was human and divine. He rose from the dead and more. No matter who you are and what you believe, we're glad you're here. You know, they skipped an important part. They didn't talk about the cross. They didn't talk about why he died. They just said he rose from the dead. See, the cross is offensive. And the why he was on the cross is offensive because we're sinners and we need a savior. And so to be more inclusive and to have more people join in, they just skipped over that. They had in the one of the 30-second ads that was costing them $7 million, they had a critical race theory picture. They had a false religions Jesus, ecumenical Jesus. They had an earth worship Jesus showing someone washing the feet of a protester out there in the oil field, you know, earth worship. And then, of course, as I said before, they had the homosexual sin affirming Jesus with the homosexual getting his feet washed. Here's what Jesus, the Bible Jesus, said in John chapter 8. When they brought a woman who had, they said, was caught in the very act of adultery, and they were challenging Jesus because the law says she deserves to be stoned. Well, of course, I have some questions. Where was the man? I mean, if she was caught in the very act, where's the man? But anyhow, here's what Jesus said to her. After he rebuked them and they all left one by one. And I personally think that he stooped down on the ground and started writing their names and their personal life history that he knew about being God. And that's why they all filed out of the room, out of the courtyard one by one. And so then it's just her and him standing there. And he says, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. But that's not the end of the verse.
Oh.
Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's the part that's left out in today's social gospel. In the new Jesus, we don't talk about sin. No. We don't talk about what God expects a believer to do. He doesn't want to condemn us. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He sent his son to save us from condemnation. But that doesn't mean he's going to change his rules or overlook any sin. Go and sin no more is his expectation. Another part of the He Gets Us website reads like this. Our work represents the input from Christians who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, as well as many others who, though not Christian, share a deep admiration for the man that Jesus was.
Yeah, the man.
Yeah, it's all about the humanity of Christ. How good of a person he was. And so if you can get along with quote-unquote Christians and non-Christians and everybody's holding hands and singing Kumbaya, let me just say this. I don't think most of the Christians are Christians in that group. Because you don't know the Jesus of the Bible. If you think you can just have a good Jesus that's not God, the truth is, and I've told our folks many times here at our church, if Jesus was never God, if Jesus at any time in his life was never God, if he grew into godhood like the cults teach, if he never was God or wasn't virgin born and he wasn't really the Son of God, then Jesus was the biggest liar and the biggest fraud and the wickedest man that ever lived, because millions of people have died for him. And so you can't have it halfway. You can't have a good Jesus that wasn't God. He either was God or he created the biggest fraud the world's ever seen. And that's not a good man.
Not at all. You know, I've never...
And so what we have today is another Jesus.
Sure.
We have the humanitarian Jesus. We have the woke Jesus. We have the cool, acceptable, popular Jesus. And that makes me think of something else that's happening right now, and that's the chosen. We can talk about that if you want to, but first I want to say this. The word anti, A-N-T-I, it's a prefix. It means against or opposite. It's used in English words such as antibodies. The word on its own, anti, is an adjective or a preposition describing a person or thing that is against someone or something else. But in the Bible, there's another definition. It's not just against or opposite of, but it also means in place of. An antichrist isn't just some evil person that we as humans will just immediately recognize as some man with a red suit on and a red pointed tail and a pitchfork. No, no. Antichrist means in place of, replacing. And that's what this he gets us at, and that's what chosen is all about. That's what's happening right now as we march toward the end of time and Christ returning, the real Christ. People are falling for the anti-Christ, the replacement of the true Jesus. The true Jesus, I saw this, Jerry, this made me laugh. It was a picture of Jesus with a whip in his hand, and he was overturning money changers' tables and driving people out of the temple. And it said right in the middle of the frame, he gets us. And I didn't post it because I don't want people to think that I'm just off balance on the other side. But I appreciated the humor in that because most people don't even know Jesus did that.
Matthew 21, I'm looking at the verse right now, 12 and 13. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.
Jesus got angry? Yeah, with a cause he did, with a reason. And he drove them out because they had violated and destroyed the purpose of the sacrificial system and the pointing of those animal sacrifices to him as the Lamb of God that was going to die on the cross soon. That grieved him terribly. Another picture I saw last week on social media was a picture of Noah's Ark out in the middle of these waves and people drowning, and it says, he gets us.
Mm.
I mean, I don't think that I want to share that one either, but people need to understand, they need to understand why we need to be saved. It's because we're sinners and we're damned and we're headed for hell. And if all we do is talk about how Jesus loves everybody and he's not going to ever do anything mean to any of us, that's a lie from Satan.
Amen.
Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Christ. But many, the Bible says, will go the broad way into destruction. And few will go the narrow way into eternal life. And if you say you're a Christian, like these people on the He Gets Us movement, if you say you're Christian and you've got $7 million to blow on 30 seconds, surely you could have come up with something better than that.
Certainly. You would hope and you would pray that they would have a little bit better discernment on biblical life, but these people are lost and they're all partakers of, I call it the Joel Osteen church, where, you know, I know that homosexuality is a sin, but I don't preach against it because I want everybody to feel welcome and loved.
That's right.
Jesus loved us. He came and gave his life so that we could have eternal life. He died on the cross for us to pay for all of our sins, not just the ones that we had a few years ago, but all of them.
Right.
And instead, yep. they want you to think that everything is peachy keen and all you got to do is say, yeah, Jesus is my Lord. You're right. Nobody studies the Bible. Nobody reads the Bible. And I that's an overgeneralization. But, I mean, when you're talking 6% of how many million people in America, 300?
They claim to be Christian.
That, you know, yeah. I've had a number of people over the years working at the ministry call and say, only 144,000 go home. Why such a small number of people? Look at what we are dealing with now, Matt.
Yeah. Well, the cults, you want to talk about Jehovah's Witness or you want to talk about Mormons, you know, Catholics, whatever, that's the interesting part about all this, is that He Gets Us didn't offend any of them either.
Not a one.
You know, and that's the thing. The only people that are going to be offended are the minority who are actually Bible-believing Christians. And the rest of the world is going to say, what's wrong with you guys? You're so square. You're so old-fashioned. And what's, you know, and it's because they don't get the word.
Not a word.
They think they get Him, but they don't even get the word. And so they don't know Him. And one day He's going to say, I don't know you. Matthew chapter 7.
Oof.
Depart from me, I never knew you. I saw someone do a spoof off of the commercials. And it showed all these people being affirmed as they are, drunkards, homosexuals, you name it. And then at the end it says, Satan, he gets us.
Mm.
The world wants Jesus their way on their terms. Mm-hmm. And shame on the Christians that are compromising with that, that are trying to soften the true Jesus and the message of the gospel, and are trying to make Him more relevant or woke or politically correct or nicer or whatever it might be. It's just a shame. It used to be, Jerry, I like football too. It used to be you'd watch a football game and somebody would be holding a placard that says John 3:16 in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I wouldn't mind that. You just paste John 3:16. Have people look it up. I mean, how is it that we have all kinds of filth and raunch in football today, but they wouldn't allow Tim Tebow to have verses painted on his eye shadow a few years ago when he was playing football.
Philippians 4:13.
I'm not a huge Tim Tebow fan, but I'm just saying, look at the difference between that garbage and this Taylor Swift nonsense that was going on now.
Yeah.
And all the junk that was happening and is allowed to go on. There's such a hypocrisy and such a slant towards the truth. And if you had $7 million for 30 seconds and you gave the truth, you might offend a lot of people, but you would grab a hold of some people that saw that.
People that
because
really
truth
need it.
Is something magnetic. Yeah, there's an honest person is gravitated to truth.
Yeah, I remember they banned any kind of writing on the eye black that the guys used to wear. And most of them,
yeah.
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Sure.
You know, what's wrong with that? But you bring out all of these hedonistic entertainers at halftime, and
right. They're
bumping and grinding and doing whatever. And I didn't watch halftime, so I fast-forwarded through that.
Ugh. Yeah, I never do.
But it's okay to promote that. And this other Jesus, but we can't talk about the true Jesus because
we don't want
to turn people away from watching the game. We want people to stay locked into this carnal competition instead of a spiritual competition. Well, Matt, we've flown through 30 minutes. We're going to have to take a brief pause. My guest today is Pastor Matt Furse. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding book written by Pastor Matt Furse entitled, Which One is Right? The King James Bible versus the Pre-Tribulation Rapture Theology. The answer to that question should be obvious. The Bible is always right. However, the false doctrine of pre-tribulation rapture has been so thoroughly ingrained into the minds of sincere Christians that one even wonders if sound evidence from the Bible will persuade them. Pastor Matt first picks up right where he left off in his first book, Who is Israel, and explains with his simple, easy-to-understand writing style just why he cannot believe in the popular pre-trib eschatology of our day. Using only the Bible as his final authority, Matt first dissects the false doctrines of pre-tribulationalism and with sound, irrefutable evidence exposes the hypocrisies therein. Once you've read this book, you too will know which one is right. Pastor Scott Clem said of this book, quote, "What in real practice is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice in your life? Is it systematic theology? Is it your denomination? Is it your pastor? Is it your church's doctrinal statement? Is it today's popular teachers? Is it dispensationalism? Or is it truly the Word of God? For those that believe the King James Bible is the inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God in the English language, this book will test the mettle and integrity of your conviction. For those who have been taught and perhaps parrot a particular form of systematic theology, this book will challenge you. It defies what has now been the majority position of the last 100 years. All of the good men quoted in this book who are saved and love the Lord couldn't be wrong, right? I challenge you to let the Bible be the final judge of that. Let God be true and every man a liar." Outstanding book by Matt First. 325 pages. We're only asking $25. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $31. You can order your copy of Which One is Right by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you want to call us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Which One is Right right there on the main page. If you care to order with a check or money order or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy. And you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. $31 postpaid for Which One is Right. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pastor Matt First. Matt, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, I went to the He Gets Us website, and I went to their FAQ, the Frequently Asked Questions page, and the question that caught my attention first was, what is your stance on the LGBTQ community? And they say, let us be clear in our opinion. Jesus loves gay people, and Jesus loves trans people. So this same Jesus probably would have not minded the people desecrating the temple, making money.
Their Jesus would never make a whip and throw anybody out of anything. The Jesus of the Bible said that God made them male and female, and when you're talking about marriage, from the beginning. And people even in that day understood the law of the Old Testament. And the law for adultery was stoning, and the law for fornication, and especially homosexual sodomite activity, was stoning. It was execution. Even in our country, Jerry, up until about the 1960s, we had laws on the books of every state of America against sodomy.
Mm-hmm.
But things have really changed. And so now we are supposed to be woke, and we're supposed to be affirming and accepting. And even Alistair Begg endorsed a someone to attend a homosexual wedding not too long ago. About 2 years ago, Amy Grant hosted a homosexual wedding in her own property for some relatives of hers. These are quote-unquote Christians that are caving to the political pressure that's out there. And yet, God's word hasn't changed. And sodomy is still sodomy. It hasn't changed. It's still wicked. It's still sin. Now, the good news, Jerry, is that God does create us and love us and redeem us and transform us and heal us and calls us and equips us and empowers us. God does have the ability to make us different. And one individual, I don't even remember his name, but he took the same He Gets Us commercial, same format, and he just changed the pictures and the words. And he had a picture of Richard Dawkins with a young man, and it said, Richard Dawkins, former right-hand man, now turned to Christ. Then the next frame showed a man who used to be an abortionist and was now an OBGYN doctor, former abortionist. Then it was a woman who used to be a witch. Then it was a picture of another woman with her husband and a child, and it said former porn star. And then it was another woman who was former lesbian. And on it went. And then at the end it said, He doesn't just get us. He changes us. He saves us. He redeems us. He bought us. And He makes us one of His children, a new creation, a new creature. And it ended with, such were some of you, which is straight out of the Bible. In Corinthians, where it says, you used to be these things, but now you are washed and you are sanctified by the blood of Christ, and such were some of you. And I like that because it used a portion of the Word of God, and it was real live testimonies of real people and their pictures of how God has saved them and changed them. Now you tell me, $7 million for that 30 seconds, that'd have been worth it.
Every penny.
That would have been memorable. People would remember that. People who are stuck and caught in the wickedness of sin would see that and say there's hope in Christ. Instead of some stupid ad that shows a bunch of people getting their feet washed.
Yep.
So shame on them.
Very much
so. They deserve to be called out.
And Jerry, go ahead.
I think you know this, but one of the big promoters and one of the big financiers of the He Gets Us movement is the Green family who owns Hobby Lobby. And Hobby Lobby, I appreciate their store, but what I've noticed about Hobby Lobby is I can't find any of their artwork in King James hardly. I might find a King James Bible on the rack, but I found a really nice big portrait of an eagle flying through the air, and it said Isaiah 40:31. I thought, wow, that would look nice in the church. I got up close, and it wasn't a King James verse. So about 10 years ago, I had written a very, very favorable article in our local paper defending the Greens when the Obamacare people were trying to push them and force them to pay for abortions with their own employees. I stood with the Greens on that. And I cut out the article that I had written, and I sent it with a letter saying, hey, as a pastor, I would really love to see you put together some things, some good artwork and framing that are King James, you know, the old King James, and sell it on the rack. Never heard a word, not one word. I don't think the Greens really understand the Bible and the whole Bible issue. They have the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C., but they don't understand the issue of the Bible and how the Bibles are not all saying the same thing. And once you get away from the Word of God, you end up wasting a lot of time and money on stuff that isn't biblical, and that's exactly what the Greens have gotten themselves into.
Very much so. I think their son is on the board that's behind this. And I know the group that ran the ad campaign last year was Servant Group or something like that. And because they donated money to anti-abortion, pro-life causes and anti-homosexual causes, they were kicked to the curb. And now the Green family, sadly, is behind this Woke Jesus campaign that is not biblical in one iota.
Yeah, and then you end up having a bunch of people where some are claiming to be Christians, some are not Christians, but they still admire the man Jesus. It's just, they say he gets us, but the truth is they don't get him.
Not a word.
They don't even know the Jesus they're trying to promote.
No. And I believe the pastor that put that video together is on YouTube. His name is Pastor Jamie Bambrick, B-A-M-B-R-I-C-K. I urge you to find this. He saves us.
Just type in "he saves us" or "he gets us remodified" or whatever it might be, and you'll find a whole lot better ideas that they could have come up with than what they did.
It's a whole lot more powerful than the garbage that was on TV.
Right. Yeah. A true, clear message of God's power and the ability for him to create a new creature within us, the sinner. You know, Jerry, I'm reminded of what the Bible says in Proverbs. It says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Mm. And that's what the woke Christianity is. It's all about kissing the enemy but not telling them the truth. That's what the feet washing thing's about. It's about trying to be nice but not telling them what they need to hear. You know, when I was a kid, my dad and mom did something terrible to me. They pulled out a thing called a belt.
Oh, no.
Or a rod. And they faithfully wounded me in my nice padded spot of my body that God gives every one of us. And you know what I found out when I grew up? They were really my friends. And those spankings did me a lot of good. I didn't thank them for each one of them. I promise you that.
Nor did I.
I never turned around and said, "Boy, that was a good one.
Thank you, sir. But I have another." No.
My parents were my friend because they spanked me when I needed it. And sometimes they didn't know I needed it more than I got it. But I am thankful for friends who are willing to wound me, to say something or do something that offends me, but it's what I needed. And that's what the Christian is supposed to be doing, not kissing the enemy.
Amen. I know there are a number of verses in the Bible that talk about being chastised, but it's a sign of love.
Absolutely. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And the child left to himself isn't loved. You're spoiling that child. You don't love that child. We're not talking about beating.
No.
We're talking about just chastening and discipline. And a Christian who loves his neighbor or his coworker is not going to paint Jesus in a compromising way to keep from offending. They're going to say, "Look, I love you, but here's the truth. If you don't receive Christ and you don't confess that you need Christ and that you're a sinner that needs saving by the grace of God, you're going to go to hell." Well, that's offensive, but that's the truth.
If you love your neighbor, that's the message you would give.
Absolutely. And Jesus said the word hell more than he said heaven. Is it because he was negative? No, it's because that's what he came for, to rescue people from hell.
Amen. You know,
go ahead. Since this "He Gets Us" came out and there was some backlash from Christians on social media, this Dallas Jenkins, who is the director of the Chosen TV series, came out and said that he supports the "He Gets Us" Super Bowl ads. Well, of course he does, because he's part of this new Jesus. He's all part of this woke Christianity and this different Jesus than the biblical Jesus. And that's a whole nother subject, Jerry, but watch out. If any, your listeners are, I hope they realize there is major ecumenical stuff going on with the Chosen series, and it has very little true biblical content, and things are being twisted, and there is Mormon influence, there is Catholic influence that's very strong, and because money talks, and because it's all about a TV show and being successful, and Dallas Jenkins himself has even said it's not really about the Bible, it's about just my imagination and what I think it should look like and what viewers would like. And because we're only 6% or 9% biblically literate today, he's getting away with it.
The fall from grace has been swift. It is all encompassing. I haven't seen this series.
Well, you're not hurting. You're not. Trust me. Here's what I hate about TV or movies about Jesus or even books. There's a children's book out there. I'm not kidding you, Jerry. There's a children's book out there. It's been out there for maybe 10 years. It was written by, I think, a woman from UK. I think that's where she's from. And it shows a picture of Jesus in this children's color book getting baptized by John the Baptist. And it says, Jesus said to John the Baptist, I need to be baptized to wash away my sins.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I could even email you the picture of that children's book. And what I hate about these artists and the movies is it tends to warp our impression of who Jesus is. We should only be getting our impression of who Jesus is from the Word of God and other Christians who are following the Word of God. That's where we should get our impression. But when we start to see pictures, pretty soon people say, well, Jesus had long hair. What, why do you think he had long hair? Well, because I saw a picture of him. Well, they didn't have any cameras back then. There's no proof that he had long hair, but people think that. And there's a lot of things that people think and assume about Jesus because of artwork. People, I just saw it the other day. People assume that Adam and Eve ate an apple. The Bible doesn't say they had an apple, but everyone says that because they heard it from somewhere. They saw a picture, and it looked like something. And so we are influenced by what we see. But the Bible tells us to have faith in what we hear, not what we see, because seeing can be very fooling. And so these movies are very dangerous. And so I do not recommend people watching movies about Jesus, because I promise you they're going to get it wrong. And I preach strongly against Bible versions, other Bible versions. So why would I turn around and not say anything about a movie version that is so twisted?
Right.
It's warping our thinking.
You know, that's the apathy in the church, so-called Christian church, is because right. Instead of taking upon ourselves to get into his word, whatever right. The pastor talks about for his sermon for 45 minutes on Sunday, that's good enough for me.
Yep.
They're taking man's word over God's word.
Yeah. Let's face it, we have YouTube now. So how many of us go back and look at the manual or read how to fix something versus just look it up and watch somebody do it? And we do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we are so used to everything being on a screen, and that's the way we want it. We don't want to read. That's work. You have to think. You have to pay attention. We want to be entertained. We want to sit back in a couch or a lazy boy and let someone entertain us and give us a version of Jesus. And as long as it's not too blatant, we'll swallow it. And that's exactly what's going on. So as I started at this beginning of this interview, we have a whole bunch of people that think they know Jesus, but they don't. They don't know the biblical Jesus. They just know of him or about him. But what they think they know isn't in the Word of God.
Not in the least.
It was painted on canvas for them to look at.
Man.
The Catholics did that 500 years ago. Nobody owned their own Bible. They just believed whatever the pictures showed or whatever the priest painted for them, and they just took it. And here we are. Satan has come full circle in a very different way. He has made people biblically illiterate. And the shame is there are Bibles available for everybody, but nobody wants to read them.
No. You know,
that's a shame.
Speaking of all of these movies and TV series, whatever, I hearken back to Revelation 22:18-19. Why would you, if you believe his word, if you profess that you're a Christian, that you believe in Jesus, why would you come up with a program that it's something I think people will want to see, or it's the way I feel? I feel strongly about a lot of things. But as far as the Bible goes, I don't want to be part of that crowd that you spoke of earlier in Matthew, depart from me, I knew you not.
Yeah.
So I am not going to add, and there are times where I will kind of Reader's Digest condensed version, a quote from the Bible, like tying a millstone to your neck and having you tossed into the sea. You know, I'm taking a little liberty with the verse because I'm trying to make a point. I am not quoting that scripture. I'm just giving I'm painting a picture for you to go look up the verse to verify what I said is what's written and get it straight from God, not from me. I'm just a man. I do my best to witness to the people about the power and the love of Jesus, but you have to send them to the Word, the true Word. And let the Holy Spirit teach them. You can, like the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. If you can get somebody into the Bible to read, and I understand the theys and the thous and the whosoevers, and some of that may be a little confusing at first, but everything is, as you read the Bible, everything comes full circle and the picture is completed. Because we have the greatest teacher ever, and that's the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is let him in.
Yeah, someone said, if whosoever and thee and thou is so hard to understand, then how is it that these kids today can read texts that don't have any vowels in them? You know, all these little abbreviated words that kids are using and texting each other with. Well, good grief, you can read that. You can read the thees and the thous. It's not that hard. We're just lazy and we're rebellious because our flesh doesn't want to do what God said to do. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's important. Dallas Jenkins himself said, it's really better for people to watch The Chosen as if no Bible existed. Seriously?
Wow.
See, what he's done is he has done it's no different than what the Catholics did several centuries ago. He is painting an image of a Jesus. And people are worshiping that Jesus instead of the biblical Jesus. He is leading people to follow a new Jesus. I'm so convinced that that's why it's so popular. He and the man who plays Jesus in the series have already visited the Pope and had a personal conversation with the Pope. The man who plays Jesus is a Catholic, and he asked the Pope to bless some rosaries that he brought with.
Wow.
Yeah. The set that they used for season 2 was owned by the Mormons. The Mormon Church owns, out in Utah, they own this TV set that looks like Jerusalem. And they've only ever used it for Mormon video. But Dallas Jenkins got permission to shoot a whole season series on that set. Now you tell me if he's not compromising, if the Mormons are allowing that to be done on their property. You and I couldn't make a movie on the Mormon set. Not that I'd want to, but you know what I mean.
They would let us step one pinky toe on that property.
But see, it actually makes sense. It actually makes sense because the Mormons, they claim to have the King James Bible, but we know they've got the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, Doctrines and Covenants. They have added to the Word of God, like you were saying earlier. The warning in Revelation says don't add or subtract, and that's what this new Jesus is all about. It's all about adding and subtracting from the actual Word of God.
Is there any redeemable quality from that? None? I see none. Yeah.
I mean, it is a waste of time. It is truly a waste of time. Now, here's a little side note. Dallas Jenkins is not the CEO of Chosen. The CEO of Chosen is a Mormon.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Dallas Jenkins is the son of Jerry Jenkins. Remember the Left Behind series, Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins?
Oh, yes.
Dallas is his son. So he learned how to market Jesus and make money off of Christians.
Wow. You know, one night my wife and I were looking for a movie, and she saw the Left Behind movie. And she decided she wanted to watch it. So I sat down with her to watch it. And I started pointing out all the fallacies in this movie. I said, this is, this is so wrong. This is nowhere near biblical. And she starts contemplating what she's watching. You know, there was one scene where the pastor is at the church and everybody else is gone. What are they saying about the pastor?
Right. And the Pope in the Left Behind series, the Pope got raptured.
Well, he's God on earth, isn't he?
Yeah.
But this Pope believes that homosexual weddings are okay and there's nothing wrong with homosexual. But, you know, I mean, why wouldn't he? The Vatican and all the hiding places they've got for all the pedophile priests, you know.
I tell you what was kind of almost humorous. And almost telling was when Jonathan Rumi, the man who plays Jesus in The Chosen, and Dallas Jenkins, the producer or the director, when they're standing there with the Pope, Jonathan Rumi says, "I'm the one who plays Jesus in The Chosen series." And, of course, it's translated in Spanish. And the Pope says, "Oh, so is this Judas?"
Wow.
And points to Dallas Jenkins. Wow, is right. I think he is. I really do.
Sold out for a bag of silver. I mean, gosh, what a great analogy.
And I know the Pope was just trying to make a joke, but I think that kind of like the high priest on the night that Christ was crucified, I think he accidentally prophesied there.
Wow. What a telling response. Well, I don't know that I'd ever want to be equated with that, but goodness. Well, Matt, we have flown through an hour. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on and talk about this. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, Jerry. I always appreciate this opportunity to warn people. That's all I'm motivated in, is just warning people. You got to get back in the book. God has given us his word. You live in America. You've got the freedom to own several copies. And we have the ability to read, to carry it with us wherever we go. There's even apps on our phone where we can be reading, listening to it read to us. And there's just no excuse for us to not know the actual word of God. And yet so many of us say we know Jesus or we know the Bible stories, but we don't know what the word actually says. And every word is important, so important that he said, don't add or take away anything. It's all necessary, every jot and tittle. And that's the reason why we're in the mess we're in. We'd never even have these kinds of commercials or TV series if even 20 or 30% of the Christians in America were actually reading their Bible. Because if we were, we would stand up against it and defy it.
Amen. That's a fact. Well, Matt, you have a great evening, brother. I appreciate you so much. God bless you, my friend.
You too, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay, that's going to take care of this week's program. My guest today has been Pastor Matt First. Thank you so much for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.